Welcome back, guys, to an episode of Kate and Isaiah Living Large. I'm Isaiah.
And I'm Kate.
And once again, we are joined by Brian Godso. Welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been a short week.
This is a short week. Yeah. We're back again. In this episode, we're going to talk all about comedy and specifically weight in comedy and how it is dealt with, how we talk about it and that kind of thing.
And I'm going to preface this by saying that I think Brian is one of the funniest comics in the area, probably in the province. And I from the first time I saw him perform, I just felt like I was on the same wavelength, at least from an audience perspective. He's a much funnier comic than I am, though.
You're also good.
No. It's coming.
No, sincerely, like, for starting out, like, you're doing great.
Well, thank you. I wasn't fishing for that at all. I genuinely just wanted to say, if you get the chance to check out Brian, or if you saw him at the Grove Lounge last Saturday.
Oh, yeah, that was a killer set, wasn't it?
Oh, man,
it was standing ovation.
Yeah,
it was great.
I let it. I'm his biggest fan. So, yeah, we were really appreciative of you coming on the show. And this episode actually was born because I was a guest on your podcast two months ago.
Yeah.
By the time this airs.
Terminator timeline. Yeah,
this timeline, as we've discussed on this, is a little bit finicky. And we talked about how, and we talked about this in the last episode as well, how your friends and podcast colleagues just constantly rip you for your weight to the point where it's like, holy smokes. But you rip right back on various issues and foibles that they have.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, you know, we kind of touched on this last episode, but how does that make you feel?
Really not that bad. Like, actually, like, when you and I, if we're talking about it, like, later on, you kind of hit the nail on the head, because, like, when we do that, it kind of, like, it doesn't feel like we're attacking each other. It kind of feels like we're, like, showing each other respect in a weird way.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And I totally get that, because one of the things in that same conversation that I noted is that, well, that episode happened. It was the first time in my entire life that anybody's made fun of my weight and I walked away feeling great about it. Genuinely, by the time this episode airs, I'll be 41 years old. And literally, that is the first time that I've ever, like, not had hurt feelings about that particular topic. You make fun of me about a lot of things, but generally, that's one that I was always like, everybody hates me because I'm a blob. But, that episode, because you guys all rip each other so much, when it started to turn on me a little bit, I was like, I'm part of the group. And then it was taken away when I said things like that. They like me.
And it helps when you know everybody, like we were discussing on the last episode, when you know everybody as well as you do. But yeah. That's kind of how it feels when I'm like at a show with the other comics and we are ripping on each other like that.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't feel pointed. Like, intent matters.
Yeah. No, 100%.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's definitely like, yeah, again, like we talked about last episode, it's about, you know, a group of friends and you all know each other and it's not meant to be harmful. It's just a little bit of camaraderie thing kind of. Versus someone just randomly saying things and ripping on you. It's completely different.
Does that differ when there's a new comedian on the scene and they join in?
It can be. It's really, because like the vibe has to match up as well too, because not everybody sort of likes that sort of thing as well.
Yeah.
Too. Like, right. I can think of not necessarily weight related, but a couple of like instances where somebody has like been made fun of as a part of that and they didn't take it the same way.
Right.
And normally, like, the reaction to that is to sort of step back, like, when we sense that it is on that level. Yep. But it depends on the person.
Of course, like everything.
Yeah.
And then in terms of comedy, how long have you been doing comedy?
Since 2015. So wow. Right about when my separation started, and just something I always wanted to try, and I just jumped in, and I kind of treated it like therapy then.
Incredible. That was 9 years.
Yeah.
That's
crazy. Be my 10th year next year. And
incredible.
My goal this year is to like put out some kind of an album just to see if I can do it.
Oh, that's awesome. I'd buy it. evidently.
Yeah. I remember the first time I saw you was at a No Jokes bar. That was the first one I ever saw you at.
Oh yeah, the old R-Bar.
R.I.P. I mean, the R-Bar still exists. There's just no comedy there.
There's no comedy. Yeah, it's really sad they don't.
I mean, there's comedy there, but it's not planned.
No, it's more karaoke related. This is right.
So in terms of comedy, you use your weight a little bit in your comedy. Is there a reason why? Do you have an idea of why you do that, or is it?
It's kind of twofold. One is more like write what you know a little bit. And also I kind of discovered that when I started doing comedy, when I started writing jokes about my weight, like it's almost like a defensive thing.
Yeah.
Like instead of like being the butt of the joke from somebody else, I just make myself the butt of the joke.
Right.
Kind of like almost the opposite of what, like, I guess Hannah Gadsby has said about the issue. Like the whole, like you shouldn't be self-deprecating. I think that's hogwash.
I think some of the best comedy is self-deprecating.
Exactly. Like some of the best to ever do it, like, are constantly self-deprecating.
That's right. Yeah.
Do you think it differs for men and women comics?
I don't know if I can 100% answer that.
No, but because I've been thinking about this a lot since the conversation we had on your podcast and beyond, because one of the things, you know, in my long illustrious comedy career of less than 6 months, I've actively avoided it. And one of the reasons why is because one of my friends who I told her I was going to do stand up, and she and I was telling her to come to my first No Jokes Bard and at McGill's, and she said, I don't want to go if it's just you ripping on yourself the whole time, because I think that's how I act in day-to-day life. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I just wrote jokes that were entirely unrelated and kind of went on from there. And then you and your podcast partners, John and Arif, were saying that, like, you've got to kind of address it and then kind of move on, because everybody's thinking it. I think something that's that obvious about yourself, it's probably best to address it. So I started to work up some stuff about it a little bit, but I don't know if, to Hannah Gadsby's point, I kind of wonder from an, I don't want to get overanalyze this too much, but it is a podcast where we're talking about this. So what better time? I wonder if, because women stereotypically are often much more self-deprecating than men. I don't know. Maybe I'm talking about out of my ass a little bit, but
are we all
my giant?
You mean like if it's like frowned upon in general?
Yeah. Or? Well, because women are often like diminishing themselves. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting a little bit too woo-woo, but men are, but maybe not. I don't know.
I guess it depends on, like, it would have to depend on the individual. Like, I think in the general, like, culture, that's kind of a difficult answer, because, like, there are expectations that are put on, like your friend, like, she's kind of putting an expectation on you for whatever her tastes are.
Right.
But, like, how do you feel when you do it?
Well, I don't know, because I incorporated just at the last set I did after a conversation, I'd written some stuff. And the one joke I ended up delivering, it was like just an aside that I tacked onto another existing joke. And it's just it's a throwaway near the beginning of my act. It's like, I turned 40 this year. I know I don't look a day over 38. It's because the fat fills in my wrinkles.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
And then just on with the show. And I think it works for now. And then I started writing stuff about, like, you know, just other fat stuff, and everything that came up felt too sad. And I find when there's a sad fat lady on stage, it's just not funny. Like, there, I think there are ways to be sad and funny, but it just for the rest of my whole thing, again, in my 6 month experience, I'm really just finding myself. It just, so far, I haven't been able to make it work, even in my own head. Does that make sense?
It does. And actually, I was just thinking, like, because there's probably two pieces of advice I could give in that context. One, don't accept advice from anyone. The other, and you kind of touched on that when you were explaining it, you're trying to find a way to make it funny. And, like, if you can't, then don't write it. But if you can, like, write for you.
Yeah, like, that's fair.
Don't worry. The audience is going to think whatever they're going to think. And people will have preconceived notions sometimes that they completely throw out the window when they're listening to something. So, like, you're not going to know how other people react to it until you throw it out there. But if you don't laugh at it, there's a good chance they won't either.
That's a good point. Like, I love your stuff because you talked the last episode of it being diagnosed with sleep apnea, and you talk about that whole, and you have a whole,
well, that was a week ago. I don't remember any of that.
you have a whole bit that I've seen a couple of times about, because you tell the same jokes all the, I'm just joking, about sleep apnea and being diagnosed with that. That's hilarious. And then the other favorite story to tell from a comedy perspective is the, when you rent a room for Valentine's Day or an anniversary or something, and you try to get in the tub and the water gushes anyway, the whole thing. And it just, like, I mean, it's funnier when he says it. You'll have to see him at one of his shows.
Like, I was just feeling attacked just now.
No, but I find, yeah, you can't get in a tub without it splashing everywhere.
Yeah, I think I brought up Hurricane Katrina. Yeah, you do. Never forget.
Hashtag.
In your comedy, do you feel like it's better just to rip that Band-Aid off so people aren't thinking about it like as much?
Maybe at first. Now I don't really kind of like think of it in that angle, because now it's just more like I'll have a thought, I'll write it down, and if it's funny, I'll give it a go, and I'll try and work with it more than like consciously thinking like, well, I gotta get the fat jokes out of the way so I can move on. But like, maybe at the beginning a little bit, because like at the beginning I was kind of working that, like I was talking about my weight, I was talking about my like impending divorce. Apparently on like one of my first ever sets I made somebody cry as an aside, but
that's not what it's supposed to do. That's
how comedy works.
yeah, no, it's the opposite. But like these days, it's just like, if I have a thought and I like it and I want to play with it, then I'll go with it.
Okay.
And how, like, how long? I just recently saw you at Punchlines where you delivered, like I said, brilliantly. And I'd seen like a particular joke, not weight related, but just generally, how long do you work something up and build it into a masterpiece? I don't know why I'm up your ass tonight.
Wow. Like, is that same joke the one where I got the last name wrong?
No. No, I never speak of that again. No, the Little Mermaid one.
Oh yeah, that. I don't know if it's like a conscious thing so much. Like I'll write it, I'll throw it out there and try it out. I'll like, after I get off it, I'll think of like if there's something I could have said and I'll add that in there, or if like there's something else I could play with. So it just sort of like naturally evolves over time until I get it into something that like I just like the structure of, like that one. Right. I don't know that it's 100% done. It's my favorite thing I'm playing with right now.
Well, it should be. It's freaking brilliant.
But it's people will talk like structure and theory, and like I'm sure that works for some people. For me, it's just like you get an idea, you mold it naturally, and it just kind of becomes what it becomes.
Right.
Like, not to be pretentious, but like, you know, you see the clay and then you just chip the statue out of it, I guess.
Ah, comedy is an art. I see.
It's not. Art doesn't happen close to where you can buy a pretzel. Like,
I hope you caught him at the Grove Lounge on Saturday.
No, that was art.
That's brilliant. I mean, I flew all the way back from Utah just to see it.
If you fly back from Utah to see Brian's show and you've still never seen one of mine, we're over.
I am the worst podcast partner ever.
I didn't know it was going to be party to the breakup of the podcast.
You just have to say, you have to save the podcast, right? It's your role now.
Guys, come on, we're all friends here.
It'll soon be Kate and Brian living there.
Yeah, but we're still using your house, Isaiah. That's where the equipment is.
Yeah, otherwise it's just going to be me and my work headset and the webcam they provide me.
Oh, that's so an excellent webcam.
A whole 720p.
Hoo-wee.
Yeah, we're living in the future as of 2010.
I don't know what any of that means.
I've lost what I was gonna ask you.
So I think that probably takes us to the end of this episode, unless there's anything else you wanted to add, Brian.
Not anything I guess I can think of in particular, but it's been a pleasure.
It's been an absolute pleasure to have you. Like, okay.
Thanks for having me on.
Really great.
What, anything you want to plug?
I don't know. Now that I've had the Grove Lounge and you've all enjoyed that, if you want to see me places, so just, you know, come book me. Just my podcast, Worst Story Walk Up. Isaiah will put the link in the description. A little saltier than this one, just so you know, going in, but that's my baby. And just look for me on Facebook, on X, Mirror Cigar Face. I guess I'm on TikTok as well, but not really. I just play like a bunch of whatever random game filters come on there. And
yeah,
wherever social media is sold.
Yeah, awesome. And where can people find you on the internet? Or do you have anything else you need to plug for this week, Caitlin?
Nope, nothing to plug. You can find me on the internet at the Caitlin Dean on Twitter, Caitlin Dean on Facebook, at Kated or Kate D on Instagram, and at Fat Caitlin on TikTok, which hasn't been updated in 6 months.
And I am Maritime Brews everywhere. We are Kate and Isaiah Living Large on Facebook.
Oh yeah,
you forgot to plug that one today.
Sorry, it's because I'm sad about our breakup.
I know, apparently. We also have the Buy Me a Coffee up and running still, working on that camera. And then, of course, if you listen on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you listen to your podcast, you want to watch the video, we are also on YouTube. And if you're watching on YouTube, if you could like, share, subscribe. And as Brian pointed out last week, I should say, also click the bell button for notifications.
Yeah, that way they'll know.
So, you know, that goes a long way to liking and sharing all that stuff. But until next week, thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye. Yeah. Hello, it's Kate here. I just wanted to tell you that I forgot to tell you something in this latest episode. And so we're splicing it in after through the magic of technology. I was just announced on a show on March 23rd. It has Michelle Lynn Petit and a mystery headliner. It's in Hampton at the Old Foggy Distillery. Look me up online. You can just send me a message and ask me about it, or look to Old Foggy Distillery for tickets. Should be a great time. And thanks for letting me splice this in.